the book you got with the book, it's probably got 60 pages in it of how to do this and how to do that. There's only going to be two or three pages in there, if you combine them, that is going to be pertinent information for the task at hand. All of it's pertinent, don't get me wrong. But for what you're doing, there's going to be two or three things that's going to be pertinent that you will need. And what I have done with the 2980 is put that on a index card and learn those functions. In other words, I don't have to think about it. I know I need to hit F2, F3, F4 to do what I want to do. But that takes time. That takes time to learn that. But that is better than having to just shut the radio down because I've hit a button on it and it's going crazy and I don't know what I've done to it. So learn the pertinent things that you need to know about the radio. Let me let this thing drop. Cheat sheet and keep it near the vehicle or near the radio until you learn it. And if you've got six things on there that you need to learn, then just learn them once at a time, one at a time, and just practice doing that one thing until you have a little bit of muscle memory. The third option is on your microphone, you should have some function keys. On the 2980, there are four of them. And they are, I can hit P1, P2, P3, or P4. And that's what those function keys do. They allow me to pull what I want to out of the menu, and put in those function keys. So if I do mess something up and don't know what to do, I can just hit P1 and tell the radio, when I hit P1, I want you to do this. And it'll take it back to that frequency or whatever I tell it to go. But that takes time to do that. And that is difficult to do. I get it. I do. But the alternative is, well, I'm just going to shut this thing down because it's making noises. I've done something to it. Don't know what I've done. So, as encouragingly as I can say is learn the pertinent functions to the radio so that you know how to operate it. And let me be clear, that's not an easy thing to do. People think that it's the general appearance is that you key the mic and talk. That's what the perception is. But the reality is, it's not that way. There's a lot that goes into making that radio do what it's supposed to do when you do push that button. So, dumb it down a little bit and digest little pieces of the menu in your mind so that you know exactly what to push and where to go and what to do. And that would be pretty helpful. On the other hand, that's perfect for the 2980 because it's a dumb radio. It's brute force and dumb. So you don't have a lot you can mess up, and it's easy to get back where you want to go. But with options on the TYT comes complication. And you have to learn to overcome those complications by putting the information in a format you can digest. KO4NUE and KI4DTY.
Yeah, I agree with you on the dumbing it down and learning it properly. Because I was trying to program it the other day with some of the things that I've programmed on this 991. And I just got aggravated and just got out of the truck. So, But no, like, I agree. I need to do, like, a little postcard or something, the notes to do whatever specific thing I need to do. Just like when you walked me through programming this thing, I created three post-it notes, one to program, one to tune, and one to name. And I know it sounds stupid, but I still referred back to it a couple times, even when I was programming that Simplex channel the other night. I reverted back to my little card there and programmed it and named it and got it all done, and it was simple and sweet, and I'll have it memorized before too long, but at least I was able to have it. But yeah, I guess my aggravation or slash thought process was, did I need to change it, change the radio out? Let me cycle this radio out to be able to actually hit the repeater so that when I'm traveling, I can actually talk to Caesar's Head, talk to, you know, the repeaters I want to talk to. Because even though I love that dual band, I haven't been able to use it as a dual band like I would like to. Where I'm traveling, and, you know, I could use, you know, if it was one of those things, I'm sure I'm speaking circles here, but to put it plain and clear, if I'm traveling enough that I just need to hit the repeater, well, that seems like that would be more important than having a dual band, or vice versa. You get where I'm coming from?
I understand, but here's what you're going to run into with that, is that how many times a week are you, how often are you having to go to Charleston? Is this going to be a recurring thing?
Charleston, but yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like every, you know, 3 days a week, but like I'll be going next weekend again, you know, on the 18th, so I'll be leaving on Friday, and I'll be there Saturday, and either, you know, trying to come back home at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night or come back Sunday morning, but, you know, let's say it's once a month, but not just Charleston, you know, it's Charlotte, Columbia, Asheville.
What I would do with that, and this is just the limitation of VHF and UHF, is I'll take the time to plan your route on the highway and say, okay, here is a list of repeaters that I think I can hit on the highway going to Charleston, and try those on the first trip. And identify the ones that you can hit, or that you can open the squelch on, and throw the rest out, because they're not going to be useful to you if you can't open the squelch to communicate. And just write those down. Okay, well, I'm past Newberry, so you know, for example, you know when you start getting to Newberry, you're going to lose Caesar's Head, the one we're talking on now, the 610 machine. So you need to be planning in your head, okay, well, let me look at repeater book and let me see what's available after Newberry. And jot those repeaters' frequencies down. So the next time you get to Newberry, take the time to pull over and see if you can open the squelch. Weed the garbage out and keep the good on the post-it note. And do that all the time and identify those ones that are usable. Let me let this drop and I'll give you the next step. To identify that and make things easier on you on the display or the menu. Sometimes I get wound up in formalities. And what I mean by that is when I initially programmed the 2980, I planned my route to the deer camp. Well, I put the repeater call signs for the identification on the screen. Well, you know, that's a lot to remember. Okay, well, what call sign was What repeater was that? Was that W4GL or was that this, that, and the other? My suggestion is don't do that. When you name a frequency in memory, name it as a TAC channel. When a TAC does not mean tactical as in war, it means tactical as a location. In other words, memory channel 1 is Taylor's. You're going down I-26, you get to Newberry, and you hit memory channel 2, which is going to be Newberry. So when you get to Newberry, you go to memory channel 2. Then you figure out where that repeater drops, and then you program memory channel 3 as Orangeburg, and you move to Orangeburg. And that just makes things so much easier as you move down the highway. You don't have to remember the frequency. You don't have to remember the FCC call sign for the repeater. It's a name. It's a tactical channel that names a location. So anything you can do to that radio to make it simple is always better, because the buttons are small and you're having to drive. So, you know, make it as simple as possible. Let us drop. Is along the way, when you're in those areas, it's okay to take the time to say emergency in for Newberry, emergency 2 for Orangeburg, or emergency 3 for Goose Creek. Find out what those hospital frequencies are, because typically there's hospital frequencies or EOC frequencies listed in there, that if you have an accident and can't find your phone, or you're trapped in a vehicle and can't get to your phone, you can always grab that mic and move to emergency Orangeburg, if that's along the lines that you're thinking. Let me let this thing drop, and I'll give you my last thought on the radio and the vehicle. The 991 that you have, the Yaesu, it's a wonderful radio. Very powerful as far as functionality goes. Allows you to do a lot. But one of the deficiencies with the radio is on UHF and VHF, you only have 50 watts. That's it. The 2980, the dumb brick, has 80 watts. So that's going to be important in a simplex node or a simplex operation when, you know, the ice storm comes and knocks out all the power. You could put that above your 991 and switch over to the 2980 at 80 watts if you need it. And have that right there in the shack and pull it off the same power supply, because you're not going to transmit on two radios at once. I guess you could, but I never have. And put a coax switch. I've got a coax switch here you can have. And you just use one antenna and put both of the radios into the switch. So you switch to dumb brick, or you switch to 991, and when you need more power, you switch to dumb brick. When you need refinement, you switch to the 991. Is that helpful at all? KO4NUE and KI4DTY.
Yeah, that is helpful. And I like what you were saying about as far as walking the memory down in the for the TYT in the truck. I did not think of it that way, kind of mapping it out a little bit better, so that as I'm going down, the number goes down, or, you know, vice versa, and I can actually walk those down to access, you know, whatever repeater I need or want. But yeah, I had opened up a repeater book on my phone, and you know, I typed in a couple here and there, and just wasn't getting much or anything. You know, you're calling out, you know, CQ, CQ. I'm just joking. I was just, you know, calling out, not getting any type of response. But then, you know, of course, you know, like I said, you know, the fact that it dropped out in Clinton, I was like, well, dang it. I felt like I should have been able to get a lot farther, but I guess not. So, and that's why I was asking if I need to up that wattage. So, but end of that one. Your other part is, I was going to ask you, what's the benefit of having two radios in my, you know, ham shack here? You know, what would I gain by having a 2980? And I get what you're saying, you know, with this 991, I'm stuck at 50 watts max where, you know, dumb old brick, which is, I like it. I mean, that's the first radio I bought, and I've been happy with it. Thanks for the referral and all that, but would there be another reason to have two radios? Like, what's the purpose of that? And listen, I know it's 11:30 and you're tired, and we can talk about this later. So if you want to go to bed, please do.
So let me answer the question for you. Right now, with your technician ticket, it's just a convenience. It's a small convenience to say, to come be able to sit down at the radio and say, okay, I want to talk on the 2980 tonight. And then tomorrow night say, well, I want to talk on the 991. Here's where it changes. When you get your HF, your general license, things are going to change on the 991. All of those buttons that you don't know what they do, you will have to know what the majority of those buttons do when you move into HF. If you do not learn those buttons, you're not going to be able to hear, and you're not going to be able to operate. So you're forced to learn what those strange buttons do. And some of those buttons are going to be digital modes. So what I mean by that is, when you spend 4 hours figuring out how to get your radio to do something really good, and you get frustrated because it took me 4 hours to figure out how to get it to talk like this, you don't want to change it. You don't want to do a doggone thing, but leave it right there. So it almost becomes kind of like a dedicated machine. When you have the radio programmed to do a certain thing, like digital mode, it's really handy to be able to say, you know what, I'm in the middle trying to figure that out. I don't want to change everything back the way it was so I can log into the net tonight. Let me hit this one red button on this 2980, and I'm ready to talk, and I don't have to do anything to that 991 to change my configuration settings. That's a little bit more than convenient. That is just downright smart. But right now, with, you know, a technician license, it's just going to end up being a small convenience to where you can, okay, well, I want to check on this one tonight, or check in on that one tonight. So let me let this repeater drop, and I'll give you another thought to think about. 980. There's a little red button on it that's got a, I think it's a W with this little star-looking thing on it. That is Wires X. In other words, simply put, it is Yaesu's version of something like Echolink. But that 2980 is Wires X compatible, which means there's a connection on the back of the radio to where you can change that radio over to use Wires X, which what that means is, if you want to talk with someone in Germany or France or Italy, You can do that on the 2980. You can also do that on the 991, but you have to push about 50 buttons to get it to do that on the 991. With the 2980, you hit that one red button, and you're in a chat room somewhere talking to somebody in Germany. So, a lot of features and a lot of functions and a lot to think about. But me personally, where I am in my walk with my ham shack is the 2980 would be sitting right over that 991. Let me let this drop. I am working in my office until 3 o'clock in the morning, which you often do. You can sit at your desk and tinker around with them for a little bit and figure out how to do this and how to do that. The TYT, now that's a different situation because it's mobile. That poses different problems because you're moving. You have to find different frequencies, different PLs, and you have to learn to, you know, navigate the radio correctly. If you want to talk or if you want to get emergency, you know, help or whatever. The next thing to think about is, I mean, you can scenario this to death. The TYT is labeled correctly on the menu functions. And there is a need for an emergency. You know, you wreck the vehicle or you can't get to the phone or whatever. Had you rather, and your wife is in there or one of your boys are in there with you, had you rather explain to them how to put a frequency in there and then how to put a PL tone in there and explain all of that process? Or had you rather sit down and say, if something goes wrong and we get hurt, you push this button right here until it says emergency. When it says emergency on the screen, I need you to just talk and ask for help. That's something to consider too. You know, what I'm trying to say is that make it not just simple for you, but make it simple for whoever's sitting in that passenger seat who may need to use the radio in an emergency situation. You understand what I'm trying to say? KO4NUE, KO4DTY.
Yeah, KO4NUE, yep. And that's what I want, too. I want simple. I want so that, you know, if I, you know, it was, you know, God forbid, in that type of scenario, it would be make it as easy as possible, you know, the whole KIF, you know, keep it simple, stupid. So, yeah, I'm with you there. But, yeah, and it goes back to, like, early this year, like February, I had to go over to Highlands to help a buddy of mine with a wedding. And I had never been there before, and where he was wanting it, where the wedding was. And I had no cell phone service. I was, like, totally screwed. I had no means of communication. I had no way to contact somebody if something was to happen. My phone was dead in the water. I had no cell phone service. And, you know, that's where it would have been nice to have a radio that I could use and have some frequencies programmed into it that, you know, God forbid I was to, you know, hit a deer or something, which I came really close to doing, you know, that I could actually reach someone if needed. So, yep, I hear you there.
Well, the other thing, too, is to consider is to think about this for just for a second now is, let's say the scenario is that with the type of work that you do, that you don't get finished with a job until, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and you've got a 2-hour drive home. Okay, you know, you're kind of a young fella. You can handle that kind of stress. But when you get a little bit older, and, you know, I've gotten to where it is very difficult for me to drive at night when I am tired. So, it's not, look at it this way, it's not so much you. You are at a higher risk driving at night, and especially in an area with no cell phone coverage. But it's the two cars that's beside you doing 80 miles an hour, and they may not be as rested as you are or as safe as you are. So just keep that in mind. And one of the channels in the radio needs to be the national calling frequency on 2 meters. I'll verify this in a second, but that is a simplex channel that is reserved for just what you're saying. And there are people who monitor that frequency, 146520 or 145520. That's the national calling frequency on 2 meter, which means that there's no repeater involved. If there is, you want to make a call to try to get help or request information, your odds are higher than nothing that you have one of those channels as the national calling frequency. So if you can't hit a repeater or you can't whatever, you can always go to the national calling frequency and try. Your odds are greater. I'm not saying you will find someone, but I'm saying your odds are stacked in a plus category by doing everything with the radio you can to utilize its full potential. So let me let this drop and I'm going to tell you one more thing. Wait. Let's say the TYT in your vehicle, let's say that is a Ferrari. What is happening is you have purchased a Ferrari to drive, but you never take it out of second gear. And that's kind of a good analogy of what's happening with the TYT. The radio will do a lot, and it's a decent radio. But if the human portion of that equation doesn't understand how to get it into third, fourth, fifth, and sixth gear, you know, it's kind of like a rifle when you run out of ammunition. At some point, it just becomes a rock, you know. If you can't shoot anymore, then you just throw the weapon because that's the only weapon you got, okay? So that's what I'm saying is, I think the number one priority here would be for, in my opinion, this is what I would do is, or I would consider. You know my personality, and I know how I do things. And sometimes I say to myself, okay, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I tell myself in my mind that those are the things I'm going to do. But the reality of it is, 9 times out of 10, I don't do that. So if you know that about yourself, and you know that I'm probably not going to do that, then the answer to your question about the radio is, if you know you're not going to take the time to learn the TYT and all of the functions that it has with it, then take it out and put what you is simple to operate, so that you don't have to struggle with, well, what does this button do or what does that button do? It's the 2980 is great for that. Push this button and it does that. You know, there's something to be said for that. That's pretty important, especially in a vehicle. KO4NUE, KI4DTY.
KO4NUE.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to hold you up. It's already late, especially for you. I know you got to go to bed and get your beauty sleep, so you could use it. But, no, I agree with you. If I'm not going to learn it, get rid of it. And I've definitely lived by that most of my life. If I'm not going to use it, I'm not going to keep it. So, yeah, it's just I need to learn to use it, I guess. And you've helped me a lot, so first of all, thank you. And you don't have to worry about wording in a special way. You're not going to hurt my feelings, especially after you made fun of my dot matrix. So I'm pretty tough. But, no, I need to learn it. I just did not want to invest any more time into the TYT if I needed to change it out. Does that make sense? I didn't want to keep making it work, and ultimately it wasn't meant to work for me. So that's why I wanted to get your feedback, and it was important and to hear some of that and hear what Gary had to say as well. But anyways, thank you very much for your help, and I know you're tired, buddy, so I'll let you go. This is KI4DTY.
I'm good. I get tired, I'll let you know. But, I mean, if you need to go, I understand that, too. But look at another way to look at this with the TYT is beauty's only skin deep, but ugly's to the bone. And it took me. Daddy used to tell me that growing up. And I didn't understand that until, you know, I got older and understood, you know, the facts of life. So the TYT is going to be just like that. Beauty's only skin deep, but ugly's to the bone. In other words, it's a beautiful little display that you got there on the dashboard. It looks cool. It's great. Da-da-da. The hand mic's got all these nifty little functions on it and so on and so forth. But if you know that you're not going to take the time to learn all of that, then it just becomes a rock, or it becomes a radio that is stuck on this repeater. Because, and some of that may not be you, it may be, I mean, you're the breadwinner here. There's other priorities. You got mouths to feed, you got bills to pay, and that has to have priority, which means then you get into time. You know, I have to put my time to invest in priorities instead of this. And if you know you don't have that time, then you go with what you know. And the 2980 is really great for that. It's a dumb, powerful radio for a busy man who has lots of other priorities. If you know you can navigate that and get out and move with it, then that's what you go with. And then you put the TYT in the shack, so when you have time to, you know, plink around for a little bit, then you start plinking around with the TYT and use it to check in on the net. Here's another thought. To Charleston and back and forth and doing what you do for a living, then put the 2980 in the vehicle and go to Charleston knowing that it's a lot simpler to operate. Put the TYT in the shack and start to learn it when you have time. Okay, well, I've got an hour tonight. Let me learn to do this. And learn it well. Don't just do it one time, but learn it well. Learn it so that you know what to do. And then you learn the next step. And when you know that you're comfortable with that TYT, I think I can do whatever I want to with it because I've trained myself. Then take the 2980 out and put the TYT back in. Because now you've had time to learn it when you've had time to be effective with it. So my deal is this right here. A laser gun that shoots laser beams out at the speed of light and, you know, 20 million laser pulses that I can use to defend my home with. If that takes so much energy to learn how to program it to get it to shoot those laser beams out, or I've got a rock, it doesn't take any programming, and I'm pretty good with a rock, you know. I can, if that's where you are, then use the rock, because you know you're better at it than, you know, a laser rifle or gun or whatever. Because at the end of the day, if you don't know how to program the laser gun or rifle that shoots laser beams, then it's a rock too. So get the rock that is you're going to be the most effective with, and then push the other one to the side and say, okay, well, when I have time, I'll learn, let me learn little bits at a time. And, I mean, it takes, what, 10 minutes to move it? So, I mean, there you go, KL4NUE, KI4DTY.
I'm also the type of person that I have to be put between a rock and a hard spot sometimes to force myself to learn something. So I think that's one reason why I put the TYT in the truck, to force me to just learn it. But I do like your idea of just taking TYT out and putting it in my office here and just forcing myself to learn it this way, too. It's a little bit, the head comes off, so I have the head on the dash and then the actual unit underneath my seat, so it would take a little bit more work, but I mean, same premise, so. But no, that's not a bad idea. I actually may do that, because that would give me more time to actually sit down in my office with a book and YouTube or whatever and actually follow along and learn it. So I do like that.
I think just like you do, same way, is that I know my personality and how I work, how I function with things. And when I encounter something that I know is going to be a pain in the rump to figure out or to how to conquer whatever it is, I've learned, experience tells me that I'm not going to dance around this for 6 months. I'm not going to do it, because I'm going to spend all that energy dancing around it for 6 months, and I'm going to end up having to do it anyway. So let me just go ahead and just throw myself in the hole, and that's going to force me to go ahead and figure that out. So I get it. I get that concept. I'm the same way. And, you know, perfect example of that is just, for example, net control. Never done net control before. I knew in my mind I wanted to try and do it. So instead of being afraid of it and dancing around it for a year and saying, hey, I want to do that one day, best thing to do is just let me go and get this over with and just do it. And the plus side of this is, with that mentality, you've got great people who are willing to say, hey, that's pretty cool. I mean, let me help you with it. I don't know of too many things in this world where people will openly volunteer to say, hey, I know where you are. I've been there before, and I kind of respect what you're doing. Let me help you through that process. And You know, that's a little different than having to do things totally by yourself, you know. That's, you know, that's what I call trying to find a hill to die on. Well, you know, we all got to die on a hill, I guess. But it sure does go a whole lot easier if you got somebody standing there with you, you know. That's what I'm saying. It's just, if you know that's the way you are, then do what works. Don't worry about the wattage. Don't worry about the dual band repeat. Don't worry about all that. And worry about what's going to work for me right now until I can get to a point where I can navigate whatever I want. KO4NUE, KO4DTY.
KO4NUE. Yep. And that's where I'm at. And like what you were saying before, I mean, I am trying to run a full-time business, feed, you know, kids, and keep a wife happy and run a household and all that, which is honestly the main reason why I just decided I did take the pressure of going for my general this month. I took that off the table, which I'm kind of glad I did now, since I have a wedding I'm helping a guy with on the 18th, which was when the test was. But I was feeling left behind with you and Patrick. Y'all got your general, and actually you have your extra now, don't you?
That just means I'm good at taking a test. That's all that means. But Daniel, you know, if you're doing this for, you know, emergency response or, you know, emergency or just wanting to stay in touch, whatever the reason is, I mean, you're perfectly capable of doing that where you are, you know. I mean, the way I'm seeing it with the class of license that you've got now is that, you know, you have a portion of the 10-meter band that you can operate on now. The UCARS net, which is, you know, 45 minutes from you, every Sunday night at 8:30, I think, 8 o'clock or 8:30, they have a net on 10 meters just for that. Just for, you know, not just technicians, but it's primarily geared toward the technicians to show them, you know, the capabilities of HF and how difficult it can be, but, you know, how much further you can get out and things like that. So, depending on what your reason is, if it's emergency communications, then, I mean, the way I'm seeing it, you're kind of there. You have a lot more options with, you know, extending your license out. But the original goal, if it was emergency communication, you can definitely do that where you are. You know, we just need to get an antenna plugged into the back of that 991. I told you I'll give you the wire for free and help you put it up, so no excuses. It's screw it in the back of the radio, check the SWR and that nasty, nasty word impedance, and you're up and moving. So that's kind of what I'm saying. Just think about it that way. You've got what you need. Just manage what you have, I'm thinking. And just know where to go. And there are people that will help you do that. So if that's the route you want to go, I'll help you with every ounce I've got. And when I get to the point where I don't know what to do, we'll call Larry. He'll know what to do. Or Gary, one of them. And that's, you know, that's nice to be able to say that. KO4NUE, KI4DTY.
KI4LCI. That 10-meter net is somewhere around 7:30 to 8 o'clock. But I'd start listening at 7:30 to be sure. It's somewhere around 7:30 to 8 o'clock. I don't remember what W4GOG said. It's been a while back, but somewhere in that time range.
Thank you, Andy.
KK4JBQ.
Speaking of him, there he is.
Well, I've just been listening and enjoying the conversation. I thought I'd crawl up out of the weeds and let y'all know that I'm here. Chad has a great deal of belief in and I only hope that perhaps I can help out if he steers you this way. KK4JBQ.
The courtesy tone is back, so let's see who catches the repeater on fire first. But hey Larry, hey Andy, it's nice to hear y'all tonight. Y'all's voices on my radio is rather pleasant to hear. So with that said, Daniel, you know, just when you get ready, and there's nothing holding you back now, I just don't think you've realized, you know, I can be on HF right now. It's not going to take but an hour or two, and I can get up on HF. It's a small slice, but it's still there, you know, and it's within your license class, so I'm saying go for it. KO4NUE, KI4DTY, KI4LZI, KK4JBQ. Somebody pick it up.
That is. And I guess I was, we've gone a long ways in this conversation tonight, but yeah, I guess I wasn't sure about the 10-meter stuff. If it was something I wanted to try to go down. I had heard earlier from someone else, meaning a couple weeks ago, that 10-meter wasn't really alive right now, so I didn't know if I even wanted to waste my time. But again, I was trying to get my general and kind of was trying to work that way, but just with life happening, it just I just couldn't get ready and prepared. And like I said, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It is what it is. With you and Patrick getting your general and extra, I was feeling a little left behind and didn't really quite know what to do with myself. But that's me. Anyways, go ahead, Larry or Andy, y'all pick it up.
Kelsey, I'm around on the HF frequencies earlier, down on another part of the band, up there above 60 meters up in that range here earlier. So, but when it comes to that, technicians do have that 28.3-5 right in that range there. And that's where that net takes place at, that they have over there in Oconee County. Go ahead, Larry, KI4LZI.
Well, I was KK4JBQ. I was listening with interest to your conversation, and I think Chad knows more than he's letting on. And the proof is the advice that he offers. Better listen up. It sounds good to me. KK4JBQ.
KO4NUE, let me make sure I got it. The one thing you're not looking at, Daniel, and thank you, Larry, is that you have got, no matter, you do not need a license to listen. You don't need a license to listen. So you have got a very powerful radio sitting there on your desk. All it needs is an antenna. I mean, there's a tuner built into it. So, get an antenna up and listen. You can listen around the world. You just can't transmit, but listening is... You remember the G.I. Joe cartoons that used to come on? And they had this little blurb at the end of the cartoon where they'd give you, you know, the G.I. Joe characters would, you know, hey, don't do drugs, if, or, you know, teach, you know, children life lessons. And at the end they would say, if you know what to do, you're a real hero, and knowing is half the battle, right? Well, listening is over half the battle. So if you're in it for emergency reasons or whatever, just being able to listen is pretty doggone important. The second thing I'll tell you is the radio is perfectly capable of operating in split, which means that you can listen on one frequency and transmit on another. In other words, you can listen on a frequency that you're not licensed to transmit on. You can listen to that on one frequency. But you can drop up, well, you can go up to the 10-meter band and transmit on the portion of the band that you're licensed to transmit on. So consider that. That's pretty powerful, you know. I mean, you don't need to... I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say, there again, we're in the Ferrari again, and we're stuck in first gear. So just keep that in mind, bud. Is all you need is a piece of wire in the air, and you're there. I mean, it's just kind of that simple, the way I'm seeing it. KO4NUE, KI4DTY.
Yeah, KO4NUE, KI4LZI, and KK4JBQ. I think I got that. I hear what you're saying. So, yeah, I guess I'll move forward with that when, you know, that time comes to actually do the 10-meter and I guess I didn't really think about just listening. I had tried to listen before when, you know, back when I had that handy and when I first got, you know, before I got my license when I was just trying to hear. And so, yeah, I get what you're saying as far as that part. So, but I guess I'll need to figure out what kind of antenna I actually need to get for that 10-meter. It will be my next goal here.
One is... I've got 3 miles of wire over here, and I mean, I'm not exaggerating, literally 3 miles of it. I mean, the way I'm seeing it is, I think an antenna is going to cost you probably what a panel mount PL259 is, which I want to say maybe about $1.50. So, here we go. It's on you now.
My budget for that $1.50, but I think I could probably swing it.
Right. So, in other words, just, you know, when you're ready, just let me know. I mean, I think we're probably 8 miles apart. So. Me and Patrick you just need an antenna for 10 meters, and then that way you know we could do some simplex on HF, and you get to start to learn, you know, what all those funny little buttons do, and then you get to start learning what HF is all about, and you know, that's look at it this way, is when you, when you're doing what the breadwinner does in your family, I mean, that, that becomes an honorable weight. You know, I'm not saying that it's a drag. I'm saying that you personally carry that very well as a father and a provider. But with that weight, it's like a bad toothache. Sometimes you need a little bit of Ambisol, and having some type of hobby that's not work-related that you can, you know, vent and have a little bit of enjoyment for yourself. I mean, I'm sure you've got other hobbies, but that's kind of what this is for me, is that, you know, I get to enjoy something that I love and meet some really nice people in the process and be helpful and encouraging, but it also makes me better, faster, stronger. And that's, you know, that's important to me so that I don't lose my sanity, you know. So just keep that in mind. It's just a simple piece of, well, oh, hush, I wish I hadn't said it was just a simple piece of wire, because it's not a simple piece of wire. But if you need an antenna and you need some help doing it, that's a pretty simple thing to make happen. Let me word it that way. KO4NUE, KI4DTY.
KK4JBQ.